Amen. Well, last time I was with you, we talked about being the need to be fully persuaded. Partially persuaded, not going to get it. You have to believe what God said, period. You don't care what anybody else says. As Pastor Clint used to say, you're like a bulldog with a bone. Nobody's taking it away from you. And it's important because even though, you know, just because things are in the Old Testament doesn't mean those principles don't work. You know, I mean, there's an Old Testament principle in Hosea. It said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, which means you can it won't go well with you if you don't have the information that you need to have. I mean, that's all the things that we need to have. And if we don't have the information, we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And I told you, you have to know who God is and you have to understand it. I mean, it's because everything that we do as believers is based on that foundation. So if we don't believe that God is, how can we be Christians? You know? But we decided, Pastor Ed and I decided that we're going to follow the study guide. And it's really hard for me to follow study guides, but I'm going to do the best that I can. But would you look at 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 7 to 10. Let me get it in my Bible because I didn't write that one down. 1 Corinthians 12. Reads, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the what? Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And the reason I wanted to read that is one of the things that gets people in trouble, is a phrase I like to use, when it comes to receiving their healing, is they think that there has to be a manifestation of the power in action. You know, super saint or someone is there, and it very often, as a matter of fact, you'll see when you're in a meeting, there's a healing line, there are people that will sit in their seats and watch. And if they don't see anyone falling out, being slain in the spirit, they don't get up. Because they say, well, the power's not there. But if they see someone or some people being slain, they get up and come running down and argue with the host, and host says, please let me online. You know, I got to go. Because we think that the only way we'll be able to get the healing that we've been given is if there's a manifestation of it. And usually what we look at as a manifestation is someone being slain in the spirit. We don't see anyone slain in the spirit. We don't think there's any power, you know. And I was thinking about that, and I've said it before, you know, I said I haven't really seen that. And so today I said I'm going to spend some time researching being slain in the spirit. You know, just to let you know, because I wanted to see where that happens. Okay? The first, what I found, I looked at on several sites. I almost was late getting back here because I was still looking. I was just so fascinated by what I saw, and it's what I thought. See, it's not that people haven't gone out in the spirit in the presence of God. I haven't found one instance where it happened when Jesus laid hands on someone for healing. You know, I see in 2 Chronicles, it says, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then in John 18, it says, Jesus said, I am he. when the soldiers came, he said, I am he, says they, the soldiers, drew back and fell to the ground. Okay? In Revelation 1:17, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. In Matthew 17, it says, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And Jesus touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. So there's scriptures here. The Lord opened Balaam's eyes. He saw the angel standing in the way. He bowed his head and fell flat on his face. But these weren't scriptures talking about healing. Now, I'm not saying that when the presence of God is flowing like that, that you might not, you know, feel the presence of God and go out. But I just want us to understand that if you don't fall down, quote unquote, when someone lays their hands on you, that doesn't mean you didn't get it. Okay. Because it's not about manifestations. It's about faith. Amen. You know, there's one more I wanted to tell you. I had it in a different place. In Luke. Luke 5. Read this from the Passion Translation. It said, but Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. One day, many Jewish religious leaders known as Pharisees, along with many religious scholars, came from every village of Galilee throughout Judea and even from Jerusalem to hear Jesus teach. And listen to this. And the power of the Lord God surged through him instantly to heal. So he's in a meeting, and the power of God to heal instantly is all over him. Guess how many people got healed? None. Because none believed him. Then some men came carrying a paraplegic man on a stretcher. They attempted to bring him past the crowd to set him down in front of Jesus, but because there were so many people crowding the door, they had no way to bring him inside. So they crawled onto the roof, dug their way through the roof tiles, and lowered the man, stretcher and all, in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing, this is key, folks, seeing the demonstration of their faith. Seeing what? Jesus said to the paraplegic, my friend, your sins are forgiven. The Jewish religious leaders and the religious scholars whispered objections among themselves. Who does this man think he is to speak such blasphemy? Only God can forgive sins. Does he think he's God? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to him, why do you argue in your hearts over what I do and think that it's blasphemy for me to say his sins are forgiven? Let me ask you, which is easier to prove, when I say your sins are forgiven or when I say stand up, carry your stretcher, and walk? Then he turned to the paraplegic man and said, to prove to you all that I, the Son of Man, have the lawful authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you now, stand up, carry your stretcher, and go on home, for you are healed. You are healed. And the man got up and left. He didn't see manifestations. He believed what Jesus said. And I'll tell you, something else happened. That I noticed here. Jesus didn't lay hands on him. He didn't lay hands on him. There are several instances, I'll read them in a little bit, where people were healed by what Jesus said, where he didn't lay hands on them. Now, I'm not discounting. Please don't misunderstand me. Jesus said one of the signs that will follow a believer is that they will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. But that's not the only way one receives their healing. Because even when they lay hands on the sick, unless it's a gift of healing in operation, that person still has to believe. That person still has to use faith. Because it doesn't go away. Faith without works is dead. That does not go away. But we think that gifts have to be in manifestation When the simple truth is, people are healed because of their faith. They're believing the word of God. And that's powerful enough by itself. Healings and miracles can occur simply by teaching people the word of God and getting them to exercise their own faith. That's one of the reasons I believe that Paul wrote to Timothy, preach the word, in season, out of season. Amen. That means when it's convenient, when it's not. You just keep preaching the word to the people. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, that's sometimes hard to do because as the television program was, people are funny sometimes. And you figure they may need a little bit more than just preaching the word. But Paul told, he said, no, preach the word in season, out of season. Whether they like it or they don't like it, you keep preaching the word because sooner or later they're going to get it. And when they get it, they're going to start operating in it. And when they start operating in it, things will start to manifest. And not just healings, but everything that they need, everything that they've been believing for, every promise that God made, it's going to start to manifest. See, because what we need to receive our healing is really what we need to receive anything that God said. Faith in his word. It's really that simple. We make it complicated. We make it ritualistic. We were talking today about baptism. I'm going to have a baptism this Friday. Not because they're my family members, but they wanted to be baptized in water right away. They got saved. They got filled with the Holy Ghost Sunday. And they want, it was something else. I've never seen anyone get filled that way, but it's literally less than 30 seconds, you know, and all I said to them, I said, no, not in English, and boom, the tongues were pouring out of them, but they don't want to wait until September 23rd to be water baptized. Yes. It's like, we want it all now. So since they're coming to the P cubed on Friday, prayer, praise, and pool at the village, I said, if you don't mind, I'll baptize you in the swimming pool on Friday. And so that's what we're going to do because that's what they want. They want it now. They want to get this thing. And we want you to get this thing so badly that we'll do whatever's necessary, you know, for you to get it. But you have to exercise your own faith for healing. And we have to stop with say, I don't need to see a manifestation from God to receive my healing. All I need to do is exercise my faith and I'll experience my healing. All right, tell your neighbor, I got it. Okay. The other thing that I find amazing is that in 2018, Christians still believe that God is trying to teach them something with sickness. In 2018. Well, let's think about that. Aside from the funny stories that Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland used to say, if you really believe that, why are you going against God trying to get healed? Why not just stay sick and learn a lesson? Okay. But sometimes maybe I overthink things, but I can't help it. I just think about things and take them apart. And I started thinking about that whole concept of God using sickness to teach you something. So if, let's just say, for this discussion, let's just say that he does, okay, that he does that. That he uses sickness to teach you something. What's the purpose of teaching you something? Why would someone teach you something? What's the purpose of learning it? So you can function differently, So you can do things differently? Oh, right, okay. So why would God put a sickness on you that's terminal? What benefit of the lesson is there going to be? When do you get to live out what you learned? When is there going to be fruit from what you learned? When I snuck out of the house and went to the drugstore with my friend to use the phone after we lied to our parents that we're going to stay home, and that person came in to rob the drugstore, okay, yeah, God knew that was going to happen. So why didn't he do something? He did. Children, obey your parents. Why? So you'll be safe. Mommy always said to me, if you do what I say, you'll always be safe. I don't know about you, but when you're standing there, you know, like 13, 14, or 53, and someone points a shotgun in your face, you don't feel safe. Now, Mommy didn't send that man there to hold up the store and put a shotgun in my face to teach me a lesson. Because if he blew my head off, I couldn't even say lesson learned. You know, so just when I think about it like that, it's really kind of silly. Actually, it's ridiculous to think that God, who does everything for our good, who so loved us that he sent Jesus to die for us, when we were of absolutely no value to him whatsoever, he sent Jesus to die for our sins, that he would now turn around. Well, before we get there, he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. So is the Holy Spirit not doing his job? That he can't teach us, he can't guide us into all truth, so God has to put sickness on us to do the job of the Holy Ghost? You know, does that make any sense? Because it's senseless. That's why. And we need to understand that. We need to understand it. Does God know? Well, let me give you another example. How many of you had children? Have grandchildren, nieces, nephews, relatives, friends that you know? And if you see a child, you may not even know him. But you see a child getting ready to put his hands into a fire, you're going to tell them to stop. If they don't listen, their hand's going to get burned. You didn't set the fire to burn their hands. But what happens is, people don't obey, and they put themselves in some precarious situations, and it's just not necessary. God said, okay, where's number A? In Exodus 23, verse 25 and 26, he said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, then I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. That's what he said. If God says, walk in my statutes, it's because he said that, and he said, you know, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, that doesn't mean if you don't walk in his statutes, he'll put sickness on you. What he's saying is, or just think about it in this term, if you're walking in his statutes and you're keeping his commandments, that means you're doing everything he says. That means you're listening to and you're yielding to the Spirit of God within you. You're following the prompts of the Holy Ghost. So if God says, don't eat that, guess what? You won't eat it. You won't eat it. If he says, I want you to be more active, what? Guess what? You'll be more active. If he says, stop doing that, you'll stop doing it. And the results of that will be good health and wealth, because if he says give and you give what he tells you to, you'll benefit from that. But if you don't, you won't. It doesn't mean that he sent poverty, he sent sickness because you didn't listen. No, because you didn't listen, you weren't protected from what he knew was out there, and we didn't follow his instructions to avoid certain things or to do certain things so that we won't be affected by it. So that our bodies are so conditioned that they'll just repel stuff because everything that they need to function is what we put in it. And what's not good for the body, we don't put in the body. But if we're not walking in his ways, if we're not keeping his statutes, if we're not keeping his commandments, we'll just do what we want and put ourselves in the path of danger. God never intended for us to ever be sick. Now, there's no benefit from that. I was watching something on YouTube, and it was about a person who seems to like making a living, finding things that faith preachers say and chopping them all to pieces. And I don't know why I was just looking at it, but I was. And one of the things that he said, don't get me wrong. I believe in God. I believe Jesus Christ is his son. I don't believe the God that I hear these folks talking about, he said, including his mother, because his mother's living in poverty. She's sick. You know, her life's a mess and all these things. He said, I don't believe God does that to people. And I looked at it and I said, well, he's right. That's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to keep his statutes, keep his commandments, follow his words, and be healthy. Because the world is watching the results of our being children of the Most High God. And remember what Jesus said. They shall know them. The tree is known by its... Okay, now if God is the tree and the fruit that you see from it is rotten, what are you going to think about God? So why would he put... What is he going to do? Put sickness on you and then hide you away from people? Or put a sign on you and say, they're not really my son, they're not really my daughter, so no one will know? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to keep his word. And we have to, since God keeps his word, we can't do anything less. If he keeps his word, we have to keep his word. And when we keep his word, we see the fruits of keeping his word. Because there's absolutely no benefit for God for us to be sick. There's none. Tell you something else. God is not the author of sickness. Satan is. Jesus said, let me see if I wrote that scripture down. I may not have. Well, but Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Some translation says he has nothing in me that belongs to him. So if he's the author of sickness, who does sickness belong to? Who does it belong to? Satan. If it's his, does he have a right to claim it? Yeah, but Jesus said there's nothing in me. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. Why would God put something on us that belongs to the enemy? Think about that. Why would God put something on us that gives the enemy access to us? Because if we have something on us or in us that belongs to him, he has something to latch on to. Jesus was clear. The prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. Period. God wants him to have nothing in us. Sickness is from the devil. If we're sick, we have something that belongs to him. That's probably why all these crazy thoughts start coming to, these anti-faith thoughts that come flying into our heads when we have these illnesses, and you just can't seem to shake them, and then your thinking changes, and, you know, I've heard people start referring to the Bible as fairy tales. And they say, well, they're not in their right mind, but they're releasing those words. And it's affecting how they think. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to have anything in common with the devil. He doesn't want us to have anything that the devil can claim. Nothing. So will God ever give us anything that belongs to the devil? No. Never. So he doesn't put sickness on us in any shape, form, or fashion. Sickness doesn't belong to us. But by that same token, healing does. Healing belongs to us. Amen. It belongs to us. Tell yourself, healing belongs to me. Okay, I mean, it really does. And sometimes you have to just walk around when things in your body aren't feeling right and just say, oh no, healing, good health, it all belongs to me. And then find out if there's something else you need to do. I mean, I said to God, I said, my knees hurt. And he said to me, very simply, take off the weight. Nothing's changed. And he told me, he said, what did I have your doctor tell you? Doctor said to me, you can do a knee replacement, but I don't think you need it. I think you need to lose 20 pounds. He's a surgeon. He gets money doing surgeries, telling me things so that I won't need a surgery. You think about that. That's his livelihood. That's how he makes his living, doing knee replacements. And he's telling me things to do so that I won't ever need one. Just natural things. Well, F.S. Boswell said one of the reasons we don't receive our healing is by violating natural laws. My body was not made to carry over 300 pounds. And at one point, I was over 300 pounds. Now I'm about 262 pounds. And heading in the right direction. I was talking to my cousin last night. He called me up. He said, you know, why don't we trade at least one knee so each of us will have one good one and one. I didn't even respond to it. In the conversation, he said, you didn't answer me. I didn't respond to that either. But he said to me, he said, I was 212. I'm down to 175. No, he said, I'm down to 180. My doctor said I need to be down to 150. He said, that'll never happen. I said, why not? He said, the last time I was that weight, I was 21 years old. I said, how are your knees? But see, God will provide the wisdom that he'll provide it, but it's up to us to receive it, believe it, and act on it. It's just that simple. Now, I need to insert something here. I'm not against going to the doctor. I have a doctor's appointment Friday morning. The ball plays in Manhattan. Got to get up and leave at 6:30. Thank you very much. But I find out from God, what do you want me to do about what I'm experiencing? And whatever he tells me, that's what I do. If he says go to the doctor, guess what? I go to the doctor. If he tells me to go to, and he hasn't told me this yet, and I'm glad, but he says go to the Hudson River and eat three raw crabs, That's what I'm going to do. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. You know why? I'm convinced that's what will work. Because it's from God. I don't just pull out scriptures to decide this is what I'm going to confess about the situation. No, God, what words do you want me to release about this situation? Because he know, I don't know what's going to work. He said, well, it's the word. The word works. Yes, the word works. The right word in the right season works. I want a good word in season. You know, if I do it on my own, I'm edging God out. I'm saying, I don't need you, God. I know what to say. I have scripture keys. I have the seven steps to healing. I have all the information I need. No. Since Jesus is my Lord, then I shouldn't make any moves without getting permission from my Lord. I ask my Lord, what do you want me to do? Because he's responsible for me. Remember the man came to Jesus? Said, my servant. My servant has the palsy. His Lord wanted to know. He wanted Jesus to come. We have to humble ourselves. We have to stop thinking we know that. Just because we've learned enough, you know, Bible scripture doesn't mean we don't need to consult with our Father. Amen. As to how it's... The Bible says we have need of patience. So after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. It says, get wisdom. Get the information. He said, but with all of that, get understanding. And I found it interesting. He didn't say develop understanding. He said get understanding. That means someone or something has to give you the understanding so you can take the understanding and operate within it. Because remember the parable of the sower. You hear the word of the kingdom and you don't understand it. What happens? The enemy comes and takes it right out of your heart. But you had it. You read it. You know it. Didn't understand it. That's why I take a lot of time in one area, because I'm trying to help you develop understanding. So you could say, I like those moments of like, oh, that's what it means. Because then you can operate it. Other than that, it's like having a brand new cell phone and you don't read the manual. You're trying to, or a brand new car. I had a rental, didn't read the manual. It's night out and I'm like, how do I turn on the lights in this thing? I had to pull over and pull out the manual. Fortunately, I was not on a highway. Because if I'm on a highway, I am not pulling off to the side on Route 80 at night. I'm not doing that. I think that's just dumb. And I don't have to. So we have to understand the word works, whether there are manifestations present or not. Read some scriptures to you. Again, we're still talking about manifestations. I want to save the best one for last. What's the best one for me anyway? In John 5, think about this. Well, we just have to do what Jesus says. You know, it's really not, hands don't have to be laid on you. That's not the only way you receive a healing. Okay? Look at John 5. Yeah, I have time. We can read these. I mean, most of these are King James. One is the Passion, but that's okay. It says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which in the Hebrew tongue, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great number, multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So all of these people are waiting. One is going to get healed. One. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. I was wondering how long he was in that, because if you leave and come back, your place is gone. So he, I don't know how old he was. The Bible doesn't say how old he was when he heard about this pool. But he had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been there now a long time, in that case he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I thought it was interesting. He didn't ask him if he wanted to. He just said, will you? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Now think about it. I used to think he was speaking in unbelief. He wasn't. He's saying, I know if I make it to this water and get in after the angel troubles it, I'll be healed. But every time I get ready to get, so he had to be right there at the edge. He said, I'm getting ready to get in and someone beats me to it. Right? But he had never given up. He was convinced that sooner or later he was going to get into that water. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. 38 years, all Jesus did was give him some instructions. And guess what the man did? He followed the instructions. And after being infirmed for how long? 38 years, and we don't know how many of those years he was diligently trying to do what he knew to do, which was get into the pool. According to this, I don't even know if he recognized Jesus was who he was. Because he didn't say Jesus, he said, sir, I have no man. I have no man to put me in. I guess others did. You know, but he had the faith to believe all I have to do is get into this pool. Well, this person comes along who says to me, get up and walk. I get up and I walk. Didn't lay hands on him. Didn't even say be healed. He said, get up and walk. He gave instructions. And when you think about it, saying to someone, be healed, you're giving instructions. You have to do the same. Whether he says, get up and walk, or be healed, you, as the recipient, you have something to do. You have to believe and act like you believe. How do you act like you believe? You follow the instructions. If Jesus said, be healed, guess what? Be healed. Be healed. Why? Because Jesus said so. In John 9, oh no, I shared that one with you. John, we'll go to John 11. I'll do this one now. This is about Lazarus. verse 41, because Jesus wanted to take me to the tomb. Said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, And when he has thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What did he do? He cried out with a loud voice. And he gave instructions to someone who was dead. They said, no, he wasn't really dead. He was just in a coma. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. Okay? His sister said, he's been in there 4 days. By now, he stinketh because his body was already decomposing. He was dead. By every definition of dead, Lazarus was dead. All Jesus did, he thanked the Father for hearing him, and he gave instructions to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say, pull the stone away, let me go in and lay my hand on him. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the scriptures say, and he that was dead came out. Came forth still wrapped. Jesus said, all right, loose him, let him go. The spoken word received, believed, and acted on. Now, if Jesus can get through to a physical, think about it, this man was physically dead, and he was able to obey Jesus. Anybody in here physically dead? This is like one of those commercials. If you're dead or you had a stroke, call this law firm. He's physically dead, and he listens to the voice of Jesus, and he's alive and whole. You're already alive. You can hear the voice of Jesus, and you have the ability to obey what he says. And you can't convince me that the same results won't occur. We'll be whole. Period. And I feel that strongly about it. In John 9, first seven verses. Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Again, people are thinking that sickness is brought on by some by sin. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes where no man can walk. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. What did he do? He gave instructions. He gave instructions. And the man didn't say, you spit on my eyes. Of course I'm going to go wash. No. Which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came back seeing. Were hands laid on him. Were words spoken to him, be healed.
Yes.
They were? He said, go wash in the pool. That's what he said. He said, go wash your face. He followed the instructions and he was healed. We have to follow the instructions. It's really not that complicated if we start to think about it. And for me, the way I think about it, it's like, okay, this belongs to me. It's mine. I have to understand how I receive it and how I maintain it. I have to understand that. I have to understand how important it is to only say the things that God says about me. I have to understand that. I have to understand that it's not important what that sickness, that infirmity calls itself or it's named. Why is that not important? Because the Bible tells us that the name of Jesus is what? Above any name that's named. So it doesn't matter. What I don't need to do and what you don't need to do is take time sitting down reading the bio of the attacker. Because what you're doing is you're creating a mental image. It's no different than the Israelites when they were sent to spy in the land. They were so busy focusing on the giants and the walled cities. Only Joshua and Caleb focused on God saying that he was going to cut those folks off. God told you from the get-go there are other folks in the land, and he told you exactly who they were. So there were no surprises. But the people came back looking at what they considered were insurmountable circumstances. So we're not able. And they had what they said. They spent the rest of their life wandering in the wilderness when what God had provided was right there if they just followed his instructions. Now, this lesson didn't start out being about following God's instructions, but somewhere along the line it just turned in that direction. But if you look in these notes, you won't see follow his instructions anywhere in here. But that seems to be the message he wants to get across tonight. He's going to give us, a matter of fact, he's giving us instructions on how to prosper and be in health. He's given us instructions on how our souls can prosper so we can prosper and be in health. He's giving us those instructions, and all we need to do is follow them. We need to forget all of the myths, all of the rhetoric, all of the chatter about what God isn't. We know what he is. So we need to operate on what we know. And well, let me rephrase that. We understand who God is. And we need to start operating on our understanding of who God is and not what the symptoms are. I got to a point where I was a blood pressure expert. I did. I knew the statistics. I knew the warning signs. I knew everything about it. And I saw it happening to me. And out of this mouth, I would say things like, oh, I better get to the hospital before this strokes me out. I'd look at numbers, and I'd say, oh, no, these numbers, no, these will, it's a wonder that I didn't. I said it so much. It was just the mercy of God. He knew I was foolish. Like, he doesn't know. He'll get it. And I did. And I said, Pastor Ritz, why do you keep saying that? Because that's what happens. He said, but why do you keep saying that? I said, because that, oh, yeah. Why do I keep saying that? So when the doctor said to me, and I've said this a number of times, I'm going to keep saying it, you have multiple blood clots in both of your lungs. And this is coming on the heels of a few people who I know or knew of dying because they had a blood clot. I had multiple, in one lung, I had multiple blood clots in both lungs. And the doctor was, I mean, they come to you and if the face is all solemn, you know, you think they're about to go, you know. And I looked at him and I said, okay. But meanwhile, I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I do about this? You know. And the doctor said to me, he said, did you understand what I said? I said, well, let's see. You're telling me that you believe a blood clot formed in my leg, went undetected. Yes. It broke off into pieces. Those pieces traveled through my body and lodged in both my lungs. He said, yes. I said, I got it. He said, you're not anxious? No. May I ask why? Now, I didn't know why I wasn't anxious. All I knew is I wasn't anxious about this. And then what came up out of me was a rhema word, not a logos word. A rhema word came out of me. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But don't be concerned. I've conquered it for you. I've taken away its power to harm you. I said, so doc, you could say, in this world, you might have blood clots. Don't be concerned about them. Jesus has already overcome them from me and has taken away their power to harm me. He looked at me and he said, wow. I mean, he said, I said, what do you do next? What's the plan? He said, well, we have to admit you. You know, we're in Lancaster. Eddie James is going to be here. And we're in Lancaster. I'm like, okay. Folks, I was at such peace about it. And when they came to my room and they said, they're telling us you're not concerned about this. I'm not. So we have three people in intensive care. I'm like, you don't have four. But I was operating on a rhema word that I got from God. I'm following those instructions. He told me that for a reason. Be not dismayed. Okay, I'm not going to be dismayed. He said, Now, think about this. Before he told that to his disciples, he said, I'm telling you this so that in me you'll have perfect peace. And then he lays it on you. I had... no exaggeration, my wife will tell you, I had perfect peace. It was the first time anything like that happened and my heart rate didn't go up, my blood pressure didn't go up. I was fine with it. You'd have thought he said, we're sending you home with $10 million. I was that calm. I was that loose. When folks came from the church, because Pastor Sam and his group, they were great. They sent three different teams to come and see me. And one person, came to the doorway and was like, I'm like, don't come in here if you're going to have that look on your face. The nurses came in and I said, they say, you have any questions? Yes. What's your question? I want to see the CAT scan. No, you don't want to see that. Yes, I do. I want to see the CAT scan. They said, oh, no. You know, I said, I watched them give me a colonoscopy. I did. I watched them scope my knee. And I couldn't watch them when they took out my prostate, but I saw a film of a procedure. I want to know what you're doing to me. I want to see it. I said, I can handle a CAT scan. And they showed me the blood clots and they said, this is what we find interesting. For whatever reason, the clots went to this point, and instead of continuing, they went to the left and right. and lodged into less critical areas in your lungs. Thank you. For whatever reason, they didn't understand. Multiple. Not one said, I'm going through. Yeah. No, they had to yield. They had to yield. Why? Because Jesus said he took away their power to harm me. Period. So if he took their power away, that means they couldn't go where they wanted to go and do what they wanted to do. They had to yield to what Jesus said concerning this body. But I checked with him first. I didn't make that choice on my own. And if something happens down the road, I'm not going to automatically use the same scripture. I'm going to get another rhema word. Because it's the rhema words that stop the enemy in his tracks. Not the logos words. Not what you just remember. Because the rhema word means you got understanding. You got revelation. When you get understanding, you can act. If you just get the knowledge, it can be taken away. So we want to get the rhema word. And the rhema word for this evening is, we need to follow our instructions that are given to us. Because he's working all, he said he works all things together for our good. To those that love him, he said, if you love me, you will, go ahead, you can say it, it won't hurt. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's just that simple. We didn't even, there's so much. I was actually concerned a little bit. I said, I don't have enough for an hour. I thought I was going to have to go through two chapters. We haven't finished the first one yet. So when I come back again, well, I'll let Pastor Ed know where whomever is teaching next Wednesday, and we'll go from there. But folks, know this. God's word is absolutely true. He means everything he said. And we have the responsibility to hear the word and to get the understanding. To hear as much word as we can and get as much understanding of the word that we hear and then be obedient to it. God wants us well. He wants us healthy. He wants us whole. He wants us prosperous. But it's contingent on our obedience to do the things that he's telling us to do, because sometimes it keeps us out of harm's way. It gives us a word to go through things, or he gives us a word that will repel things. Whatever it does, see, it doesn't matter to me how God maintains my health. All that matters to me is he does. He does. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for making it so simple for us. Thank you, Father, because you knew we must have heard it, because you turned the whole theme around to following your instructions. And, Father, that's what we endeavor to do. We want our lives to be a testament of your goodness, of your greatness, of your mercy, of your loving kindness, and that's only going to happen if we, your children, are obedient to do the things that you tell us to do, when you tell us to do them, and how you tell us to do them. And Lord, we purpose in our heart this evening to do that. Lord, we thank you and ask you to bless these people that took the time to come out and hear these words, Lord. And we thank you that you're going to reward them in areas that are most meaningful to them, because they show that they are committed to do things your way. They're committed to prosper and to be in health. They're committed to have their souls prosper. And we thank you because they're seeking diligently after you. Thank you for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I hope you got something from that. Amen. And you'll know that you're healed. Someone lays hands on you in faith, because of your faith, You're healed whether you fall out or not. Okay? You're healed whether they touch you or not. Because you're focusing on your faith is in God's word, not in an individual. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. There you go. All that goes, resist, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.